Would you like to take a stab at offering me an overview about how the state of Nebraska views these kinds of issues generally?
Sure, I can do this. This is Dr. Schaefer speaking. First and foremost, the state is here to help support the local communities as they go through this. And this is a local issue for them to try and recruit. And usually it's the community and the physicians and the medical system at the hospital and the local practices working together to solve this kind of shortage issue. In our state, unfortunately, it's not just in primary care. It can be specialty needs as well. So they will come up with a system in recruiting, and to be a candidate for J-1 visa recruit, you have to have proven that you've done your due diligence in recruiting for an American grad, first and foremost. So they've usually, well, definitely, they have already gone through the process of trying to recruit someone, and that's part of their packet that they put together is the proof that they have done so much advertising and or interviews and declined offers, et cetera, and they haven't been able to recruit somebody into their town. And then I think one of the things that's been very successful in our state is that the communities take a lot of time when they're interviewing the foreign grad to make sure that they embrace the community and the community can embrace them, that they feel like they're welcomed in the community, that their families are welcome, and that they really feel like there's a good fit.
So it's not just a live body with a medical degree. It's a more nuanced kind of issue to really find someone that's going to serve that community and be comfortable there and want to stay.
Absolutely, because in our state, doctors are still held in very high regard here, and I think that's a very much appreciated thing. So the community in the hospital, I think, work together to make sure that that is felt by the people who are coming in to interview, and that it's kind of vice versa. So there's a longer-term commitment so that it's not a, I'm going to come in and do my time and leave. That they really want them to feel like this is going to be your home, and here are all the things that our community has to offer you. So that's kind of where we're at. And I don't know, Tom, if you have anything to add.
You know, I think our biggest factor here is we do go ahead and try and ensure that so they are recruiting for retention with everything that they do. And I've been working with the communities out there for over 25 years, so I know most of them fairly well. And we have pretty good data information on all the different types of providers out there.
Okay. This actually is kind of a complicated process. Is that a fair statement?
I don't know if it's so much complicated as that it can be, you know, a lengthy process. But, you know, it's just a process that has to be followed. And then we have a health professions tracking system here where we have a count of every type of provider that's in the state at every moment. We know exactly what's out there, and that information is updated quarterly. So it is very complete, very accurate. So it's not like someone can say, well, we really need this type of provider out here because of, you know, these, they can't bluff that information.
All right.
Not that anybody would, but I mean, we know exactly what the needs are out in the community based on the information that we have. So that's very helpful in our state as well.
Do you have a sense of where hospitalists fit into that picture of need or perhaps underserved? And, you know, we know that a lot of hospitalists come from internal medicine or family practice, but not exclusively. And some of them truly are filling a generalist role. And increasingly, we're starting to see some sort of subspecialty applications of hospital medicine. But mostly, I would think they would wear the label generalist. Where does that fit in as you look at your database and the need for more physicians in Nebraska?
Seeing that here in Nebraska, just the last 2 or 3 years of hospitals being requested to fill physicians out there. Again, I think as part of the healthcare delivery system and the demand within a lot of our regional, rural, non-metro hospitals out there wanting to have that type of coverage. And they're the ones that have been having more difficulty in locating hospitalists to go to those communities. I would say, actually, we looked in 2009 was the first year that we've actually had hospitalists that we sponsored. In 2009, 2010, we sponsored something like 8 out of the 20 were actually hospitalists. So, and this year isn't over yet, so we really don't have the data for that. But we are seeing a trend of that.
Okay.
Again, once those positions get filled, you know, we tend to think that they probably aren't going to have as much of a demand for that. I was kind of peaking.
And let me just be sure I'm clear. The 20 physicians that you sponsored were ones with J-1 visas. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that your department actually worked with local groups, physicians, hospitals, others, that were actively engaged in trying to recruit a physician to their community.
Right, and most of those communities that are recruiting for a hospitalist, for instance, they're going to have their own in-house hospital recruiter and board there that do all their recruitment. Physicians sign off on that. So really the J-1 visa waiver program, the way it works is the communities are out there doing the ones that are sponsoring the applications, and they're requesting us just to sponsor the application to go forward.
And can you tell me a little, just give me a little flavor of what that entails? I mean, paperwork, obviously, but...
That whole packet of information, they have to submit all of that documentation about how they've tried to recruit, and then all of the information about the person they are recruiting, copies of their contract, you know, making sure that they're not hiring someone for, you know, $40 a week, something that would be unfair labor practices, and, you know, kind of making sure it's all in line with what is a fair practice, and that they've done their due diligence, and that they have a valid license in the state, contingent upon their agreement to be here, obviously, and that their training has all been appropriate, and, you know, all of those things. It's a very thick packet of information.
So that might be a couple hundred pages of...
What is it, about 75, 80
pages?
That's probably 3.5 inch to 3/4 of an inch thick.
Pretty thick document. And then if all of that is in order, then I sign off a letter to the State Department saying that we believe that they're a good candidate for a J-1 visa waiver, and we've not had one returned.
Right, and I think one of the things that we've seen is, you know, I think all of the states have to comply with the same things, the rules of this Conrad 30 program, J-1 visa, and each of us probably put in anywhere from 2 to 5% of the application is just responding to us for our specific needs, for instance, demonstration of recruitment and whatever else for that.
What are some of the other important points or caveats or minefields to avoid that you would recommend to rural hospitals to make sure that they make this process work the way it's supposed to? Are the lessons that you've learned, the mistakes people have made that others might benefit from knowing not to do that?
Yeah, I think one of the things is making sure that it fits your community. One of the things that you'll always see is, are the other doctors in the community and healthcare providers, facilities, are they all supportive of this? Is it kind of a community effort to recruit this type of a doctor? As long as they're doing that and everybody knows what's going on, I don't think there's really much of an issue.
And by type of a doctor, he means by specialty or the addition to the family of physicians, not race or ethnicity. Is that if you're going to go out and get the new nephrologist because you think that there's a nephrology shortage but the nephrology group in the community doesn't agree, well, now you have a problem.
You at the state level can help people cross their T's and dot their I's, but you're also making a big push for a good fit at multiple levels, and that these may not be specified in the State Department rules, but still a good fit. The person wants to stay in the community, can live there. The community is going to welcome them. They bring the specialty that's particularly needed. So you're really kind of helping them see that this fit has to work on multiple levels.
Absolutely. And okay. We make sure that they've done all of that work before they put in an application. And we've held back applications that weren't ready until all those T's were crossed and I's dotted. And we've had to tell them, you know, wait, you're not really done yet. It doesn't sound like the community's all bought into this yet. And it may be premature, because that's not fair to anybody. It's not fair to the doctor. It's not fair to the community.
I think one of the worst cases that you want to avoid, you know, is the site that's desperate for a healthcare provider so they'll take anybody. And then you have then having a potential J-1 visa prospect who is willing to go anywhere and say anything to get there just so they can stay here in this country. You really want to go ahead and do your due diligence on your recruitment retention process so that you can avoid that.
What are the other lessons do you want to share?
I think just that, you know, it can take some time, but I think that they should check out the program if they're struggling to find docs in rural areas. But they shouldn't be afraid of it. Especially, these physicians are extremely well-trained. They're very competent. You know, many of them have been here in their training, very competent, compassionate, Americanized, very willing to learn about their patients and any customs that they aren't familiar with. Just very warm, and if there's an open heart out there, I really think it can be such an asset to a community.
And you've seen that in Nebraska?
We have so seen that in Nebraska, where some of these physicians become the most beloved physicians in the community. And when they've had to move for, like, spouse got transferred in a corporate job, and it's really shown. And so sometimes there's a hint, just a hint of not, I don't want to say racism's too strong, so don't use that word.
Right, it's just sort of a fear of someone that's different and from far away.
But they really, really need to get over.